Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. This week, I'm looking at three new movies set in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s about Americans abroad. There's a novelist in Mexico City, a TV sports writer in Munich, and a documentary filmmaker in Montreal. Queer, directed by Luca Guadagnino. It's the 1950s in Mexico City. William Lee, played by Daniel Craig, is a middle-aged American writer who is addicted to heroin and hangs around a local bar called Ship Ahoy. If he doesn't get completely drunk, he might spend the night with a man he meets there. He's friends with other flamboyant expats, especially Joe, played by Jason Schwartzman, a portly bearded man who shares Lee's lascivious predilections. Lately, he has had his eye on Eugene Allerton, played by Drew Starkey, an ex-GI who spends most of his days playing chess with an older, red-haired woman. Eugene is no queer, but is up to talking with Lee. And after repeated drinks and some opiates, he eventually moves on to share Lee's bed in his seedy rental. Lee is smitten, Eugene content. Later, the two head south in their quest for ever more potent drugs, culminating in a journey toward the ultimate psychedelic experience. They end up in the Ecuadorian Amazon in a remote shack guarded by a vicious but slow-moving three-toed sloth. Inside, a mysterious doctor, played by Leslie Manville, holds the answers to all their questions. Is Eugene the man of his dreams? Will they ever reach hallucinatory nirvana? Or is life just an illusion? Queer is a bizarre sex and drugs-filled psychedelic fantasy in three parts: meeting in Mexico City, their journey south, and their adventures in Ecuador. It's adapted from William S. Burroughs' semi-autobiographical novel written in the 50s, but not published for another 34 years. It swerves wildly between actual memoirs and pure imagination. Burroughs was a writer in the Beat Movement and was married and had a son with another writer, Joan Vollmer. Perhaps she's the red-haired woman Mary in the movie. The thing is, Queer is not a grave, serious movie. It's a high-camp comic fantasy. Psychedelia has always been difficult to film, and there's a fine line between the profound and the ridiculous. In this movie, some scenes, like the unfortunate semi-nude interpretive dance sequence, falls on the funny side, maybe unintentionally so. Other scenes were kind of cool. It's a beautiful film to watch for its music, set, costumes, and art direction. Shot entirely in Rome's Cinecittà studio, it's never meant to look realistic. Daniel Craig plays Burroughs not as a usual chill, junky observer, but as a panting and sweating horn dog with bulging eyes, nearly choking on his own lust. If you're looking for a sentimental romance a la Call Me By Your Name or a deeply profound meditation on psychedelic trips, this ain't it. But if you just want a weird and funny, drug-infused dream filled with softcore gay sex, you'll probably have a great time. September 5th, co-written and directed by Tim Fehlbaum. It's September 5th, 1972 at the Munich Summer Olympics, and the crowds are roaring. The Americans are glued to their seats watching the U.S. cleaning up, with swimmer Mark Spitz winning an unheard-of 7 gold medals. ABC is the perennial loser of the top three networks, so their sportscasters are thrilled to have won exclusive coverage rights. The team behind the cameras are hard at work. Jeffrey Mason, played by John Magaro, is the newbie trying to prove his chops. His boss Marvin, played by Ben Chaplin, wants things to run smoothly, and his boss's boss, Peter Sarsgaard, is thinking of the big picture at the network. Jacques, played by Zinedine Soualem, is their French cameraman, and Marianne, played by Leonie Benesch, the only woman on the team, is a German journalist and their de facto translator. Everything is great until one day they hear gunshots, not in the games, but at the nearby Olympic Village. A group of masked militants known as the Black September Organization is holding Israel's Olympic team hostage. Suddenly, the ABC sportscasters realize they are the only American TV journalists in Munich. They have the cameras, the boom mics, and the broadcasts and satellite rights ready to send stories home. They shift their telephoto lenses from pointing toward the swimming pools to the athletes' dormitories, trying to catch a glimpse of the hostages or the kidnappers. What will happen next? Will German authorities step in? And can a sports crew handle crisis news? September 5th is a journalistic thriller about 24 hours at the Munich Olympics. Despite its title, this isn't about the Israel-Palestine conflict. They barely delve into it. That's just the background. What it really looks at is how a team of U.S. journalists at the right place at the wrong time figure out how to get the news out even as the crisis grows. I love the period details, like giant-sized spools of reel-to-reel videotapes and how the little white tiles in a black background were superimposed onto the sports channel screen. So cool. I've never heard of Swiss director Tim Fehlbaum before, but he keeps the action moving in the midst of constantly shifting mayhem. Acting is okay, but best by far is Leonie Benesch. She starred in last year's The Teacher's Lounge. I went to the movie full of dread. It's clearly Oscar bait. Hollywood churns out journalistic dramas like this every year, but this one is surprisingly good and had my heart pumping all the way through. If you're looking for some journalist excitement, check out September 5th. O Canada, co-written and directed by Paul Schrader and based on the story by Russell Banks. Leo Fyfe, played by Richard Gere, is a renowned documentary filmmaker in Montreal. He's getting ready for an interview in his own living room in the grand old home he shares with his wife, Emma, played by Uma Thurman. The director, Malcolm, played by Michael Imperioli, and his crew are longtime admirers of Leo's legendary work. After crossing the border in the 1960s to protest the war in Vietnam, he ends up filming docs that change the course of history. Like he uncovered the use of Agent Orange at the military base in Gagetown, New Brunswick, and he later became a university prof teaching young journalists how to make these movies. Now, decades later, Leo is on his deathbed dying of cancer. So Malcolm wants to record his final thoughts. Leo treats this film as a confession. He wants to clear the record. He starts by talking about his first wife and son. He left a family behind in Virginia. But she's not the only skeleton in his closet. His past life is full of lies, deceptions, and possibly terrible acts. Emma doesn't like him talking about this and wants him to stop. Leo's nurse thinks he can't take all this stress. But the filmmakers persist and Leo perseveres. Are any of his stories true? Was he a good man or a bad man? And what do we really know about Leo Fyfe? O Canada is a fictional story about a day in the life of an American filmmaker and activist recalling his past. It's a simple concept with a slight plot. It's structurally divided between the documentary being made about him and his hidden past shown in a series of flashbacks. He's played by Jacob Elordi as his younger self. The film is almost too simple, but with Paul Schrader at the helm, you know there's going to be more to it. Schrader wrote Taxi Driver and Raging Bull for Scorsese, and he directed movies like The Yakuza, First Reformed, and American Gigolo in 1980 that also starred Richard Gere. Unfortunately, Richard Gere is the weakest part of this film. He rants and complains, but there's no heart in his performance. The film's called O Canada, but it's really O America. It's entirely shot in New York and with so-called Canadian characters using Americanisms like restroom. What is interesting is Schrader's use of false visual narratives. There are flashback scenes where Alordi, as the young Leo, is suddenly replaced by Gere as a contemporary Leo, while all the other characters remain unchanged. Likewise, the names of past lovers seem to melt away. Perhaps this is showing Leo has dementia, or maybe this contrasts Leo's current story with his past truths and untruths. Also interesting is the way we see Leo's face through the eyes of Malcolm's camera, giving it a meta aspect that messes with your brain. O Canada is not one of Schrader's better films, but there's still enough stuff going on to keep it intriguing. O Canada, Queer, and September 5th all open this weekend in Toronto. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies Eats, Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM, and on my website, culturalmining.com.